Say, God is good. With all the stuff that's happening in the world today, with the coronavirus and with everything else, and I wanted to speak on this, obviously, as probably most pastors and most pulpits will do. On the practical, and I'll start there first, quite honestly, and everybody works at a level of information you have, but on the practical side, I'm very transparent. If you've been around here for a while, you know a couple things that we are. We're very transparent. We don't hype stuff up. We don't pressure people to do stuff. We love God. We love people. It is what it is, and we love to have your part, but we don't force stuff. We don't force you to give. We don't force you to. We want people to walk out through revelation. And everybody's at different revelations, obviously, and everybody's at different knowledge, and we're all continually growing. Can I get an amen to that? In this particular situation, for me, I feel like I'm missing something, and I've asked and keep asking, and I'm keep looking, and I'll just be straight with you. I don't get it. If I look in the scientific terms, all of a sudden we see the latest update I've been told, and don't quote me as of today because I haven't looked as of today, but just recently, they say that approximately around 50 people have passed away this year in the United States because of the coronavirus, which is not to be diminished because if one person dies, it's a serious thing. But when I compare it to the flu virus, that tells me that over almost 50,000 people have died this year from the common flu virus. I don't understand. I'm missing something. If there's someone posted on Facebook, and again, just because someone posts something on Facebook does not make it true. But there's a list of a lot of things that have taken the lives of good people, American citizens this year, that outweigh the numbers. There was one website that I came across where it is keeping a tally of how many people have been diagnosed with it, how many people have died with it, but also kept a number of how many people have recovered from it. And given this relatively new in our country, majority of these numbers, I would assume, would be from other countries. And by other countries, we're talking about places in the world that don't live like we do. Now, some do, but it includes also third world countries. And so when you're talking about third world countries and of such nature, and if you've ever been there and if you've ever done mission trips, you'll know, you'll be clicking right along with me on this. In third world countries, in other countries that maybe aren't third world, you have overpopulation. You have also stuff that we call hygiene that they just don't recognize. I mean, I've been to the Philippines. You go to a public restroom in the Philippines, some of you have freaked out and bought toilet paper you don't need. But at least you have hygiene. In the Philippines, in the public society, they don't use toilet paper. There's a little bucket of water next to the toilet, so let's not go down that road. But I'm just saying, the rest of the world doesn't operate at the level of hygiene that we do. Many of them don't operate with the level of medical efficiency. Our systems here, hospitals, doctors, medicines, call it what you will, are more advanced. Some countries, you know what I mean, they are, and nothing against with holistic, but some are, they work off remedies that have been around for a few thousand years and don't know if it's going to help or not help with a particular virus, which I've never, and I'm not a doctor or a medical person, but last time I looked, a virus really, doctors typically tell you if you had the flu virus, sorry, take this to help the symptoms, go home and let it run its course. So everybody's talking, we need a vaccine, we need something to cure. But anyway, back to this website. So with that in mind, majority of the people being from these other countries that have overpopulation, low levels of hygiene, and interesting perception on medicine, there was over almost 69,000 people that have recovered. They don't tell you about that. They only tell you about the number of people who have died, which majority of them, from my understanding, again, are those who are, their immune systems are low because they're already sick with something else, or they're old. Nothing against the elderly. And wisdom has to be used in all levels, okay? But what one of the things I want to bring out is I don't think we need to fear. I just don't get it. I'm not saying to go crazy and go lick a doorknob at every public place you can find. That's called testing God. That's what the devil tried to do with Jesus. And he quoted the verse and said, why don't you throw yourself off here? Because doesn't the God say that he will protect you and his angels will hold you up lest you dash your foot against a stone? And Jesus didn't deny the promise because it was a promise, but he said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. So I'm not saying go around and do unusual things. Wisdom is a principal thing. I've had people call me and say, I don't know, should I come to church? And I just tell people like we tell people the same answer that I tell them when they ask me about tithing, they ask me about serving, they ask me about witnessing, and I tell them this very simple thing, find what God wants you to do right now. If you feel in your heart you need to stay inside and watch it online, and many people are doing that, God bless you. You're watching online, you're part. I'm not condemning or condoning because we don't want to live out of, don't make decisions out of fear and don't make decisions out of the expectation of someone else. Well, if I don't do this, they're all going to think I'm bad. Who cares what they think? They then forgot about you 5 minutes later. It is what it is. And so I wanted to start on a practical side from the virus side. I don't get it, but yet it is sweeping the world with panic and fear. With that said, I don't care if a person knocking on my door with a gun is 2 feet tall or 20 feet tall. If they're trying to invade my space illegally, stay with me. I'm going to treat them the same. Do you get my point? Because any virus is out of covenant. And I don't care if it seems to be a small, insignificant virus or if it's a major disease, it's going to get the same reaction. 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes, you are healed. Psalms 91, verse 9 through 10 says in the Amplified, because you've made the Lord, who is your refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. Say, thank you, Father. I'm protected. It's like getting a pass from God saying, I'm excused from this one. I'm not going to participate. I'm not going to participate. In studying and prepping, and obviously I spent more time on this particular message because the intensity of noise, you turn on the TV, it's all about this. I turn on my Facebook, it's all about this. I look at my phone and I got messages, it's all about this. And it seems like that's everything everybody is talking about, it's all about this. And as I begin to seek God and work and trying to find the mind of God on this particular message, I thought, all right, Lord, I need a message from heaven for the people. And I felt like the Lord said, I've already spoken it, now stand on it. So we're not going to look for something maybe we haven't heard of. We're going to go back and continue, as we always do, the Word is a priority, amen? And we're going to look at the Word of God. And what does God say? And did God mean it? Can I get an amen? Amen. And here we begin. Let's start with prayer. Father, I thank you that according to your Word, no weapon formed against us will prosper, and every tongue that rises up against us in judgment is condemned by us. I thank you, Father God, that no plague can come near our dwelling. I thank you for healing and health. I thank you for the promises of God are yea and amen, approved and so be it. I thank you for covenant healing that's bred for us as children. I thank you, Father God. Open our hearts and understanding. Strengthen our feet, like David said, like hinds feet, that we will trod and advance where other people stumble and fall back. Strengthen our legs, that we may stand the test of time and opposition and the winds of adversity. Strengthen our life in a manner that we will be defined by not our past successes or failures, our history or name, but we will be defined by your goodness. Open our minds and our hearts that you receive. Let the word spoken not be my words. Let them be your words. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I want to talk about a few things. Number one, very practical. And typically we encourage you to take notes. And we typically have on our app the notes section. I took that out today. I want you to listen. If you want notes, watch it again. Take notes. But I want to move beyond just your note-taking mindset to you, your spirit being open to the word. Amen. Taking notes is important. Understanding is important. But impartation is just as important. Number one, I want how we respond. What is God saying this? Number one, fear not. Say fear not. Do not panic. You never make a good decision when you are in fear. Never. Some of you have cases of toilet paper. And they'll be selling them cheap after the service. Just joking. Nobody makes a good decision in fear. Nobody makes a good decision in fear. Fear is when false evidence appears real. Nobody makes a good decision in fear. It's a good time when you feel fear to stop. Well, I got to make a decision. Says who? Well, I got to do something. Says who? I got to call somebody. Says who? Why do we allow the pressures of an emotion to define the timetable of our actions? Fear not. Say fear not. Philippians 4:6 says, do not be anxious or worried about anything, but in everything, if every circumstance and situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, continue to make your specific requests known to God. Most people spend more time on fear than they do on prayer. And if you look at that verse, it says when you spend time in prayer and thanksgiving, we've spent a whole series on that verse if you've been with us. When you spend time in thanksgiving and start with thanksgiving and you begin in prayer and you begin to be specific and align your prayer request to the promise of God, instead of saying, oh God, help me, you say, God, I ask you to help me, Father God, because your word says, and like a courtroom, you take the word of God to the throne room of God by the blood of Jesus and say, Father, I thank you. Because of the blood, I can boldly enter your throne room. I can enter your presence. I can call you Father, and I'm bringing to remembrance the covenant that I have with you. You start doing that, you're going to enter in a place called peace. That's a place of rest. That's a place of faith. Do not fear. Say, do not fear. If you study the life of David, when he faced Goliath, one of the things he said to the king, which can be read in passing and you can miss it as you move over, but it's so important. He said to the king that just like that God gave me victory over the lion and the bear, he said, God will give me victory over this uncircumcised Philistine. The important thing wasn't that he was just identified as a Philistine. He was identified uncircumcised, which literally means that this guy is not in covenant. This guy is not in covenant. When you understand something's not in covenant, then you can understand how you can respond or how to position yourself against them or for them. But if they're not in covenant, you have a right to resist. In Matthew 18:18, what you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and what you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Do not be anxious. 1 John, I'm going to read different verses. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear has torment. He that fear is not made perfect in love. Notice this. There is no fear in love. So if I'm not going to be afraid, what am I going to do? I need to get in love. Not my love. God's love. God's love for you. God loves you so much. The devil will try to convince you, if you've ever sinned, you ever made a mistake, that God's done with you, he don't care about you, or he loves you, but he kind of tolerates you, or you're a second-rate Christian. No, you are the apple of his eye. He loves. Say, Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. We got to go back to some basics. We have to get back to some basics. Anybody who succeeds in war, one of the things they do is they go through the basics, and they understand the basics, and they work on the basics, and they take that gun apart, and they put it back together, and they do it, and they do it, and they do it, so it becomes second nature, because when war comes, you can't think straight. You have to let it come second nature, and if you've been building the word in your life, you'll find out when things start freaking out, you won't freak out, because you're not going to think, what do I need to do? The word of God will rise up. John's Gospel, chapter 17. An interesting thing about this series, by the way, that we're starting today. We didn't start this series because of the coronavirus. You could ask my staff, and I think I mentioned it, referenced it months ago from the platform. The next two series. Before we did the last series, I introduced that series and this series. Ooh, I'm glad God knows where we're going. Okay, John chapter 17, verse 23. And the world may know... this is a prayer that Jesus is saying to the Father, that the world may know that you have sent me and you have loved them as you have loved me. Think about that. How much does God love you? As much as he loves Jesus. You are loved as much. I mean, we would have been satisfied if he would have said, I love you 50% of what I love Jesus. That's good. I think I would have gone 10%. But as much as the Father loves Jesus, the Son, he loves you. Say, I'm loved. Say, I choose perfect love. Fear not. Say, fear not. Number two of four. Feed your faith. How do we move from fear into faith? How do we move from fear into boldness? How do we move from fear into that peace? You got to spend time feeding your faith. What does that mean? What does that look like? Garbage in, garbage out. What do you listen to? What do you watch? Can I talk to you today? I don't care who you are. If you do nothing but watch the news 8, 10, 12 hours a day, you will find yourself experiencing fear and not faith. Don't matter who you are. It's a tipping point, what you allow in your life. We need to feed our faith. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. Colossians 3:2 says, set your affection on things above. Notice this, we did this as a part of a series last time. Set your affection, set your focus. You could say it this way, turn the channel. We know how to turn the channel on the TV. You can turn the channel of your attention. Turn the channel of your focus. And sometimes turn the channel on the TV also. Because if it's pumping negativity, if it's pumping fear, if it's pumping worst case scenario, and you keep listening to it, what you feed will grow. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? I know what God wants us to do. We'll get into that in a minute. Set your affection, notice, on things above. How do I do that? Spend time in the Word. Get the promises of God. Write out a few of the promises of healing or protection or whatever area that you feel like is starting to bombard your life. Get the word and begin to read it. Begin to pray it. Begin to speak. If you want to do, take Psalms 91 and keep speaking that and praying that over your life and your family. But get the word. Get the word. Meditate on the word day and night, Joshua 1, 6 through 10. Be strong and courageous, he's telling Joshua. What do we have? Get the word. Many times we spend 2 minutes, if that, reading the word, and 2 hours listening to fear. And we say, God, where are you? Why aren't you speaking? He said, I've already spoken. Begin to stand. Stand on what I've already said. Stand on, because his word is eternal. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 3 says, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. The word establish in Greek means establish. The Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Who's faithful? The Lord. Even when you're not faithful, he's still faithful. That doesn't mean you can go out and live any way you want. That doesn't mean, because Romans 6 says, if you go out and live in sin because of your freedom, God forbid. That doesn't mean you test God and say, oh, God's faithful, he's going to protect me, so I'm going to go do some really stupid stuff and start licking doorknobs to prove to people that Jesus is my healer. We'll come visit you at the hospital wearing masks. I'm just joking. But the Lord is faithful. The Lord is faithful. It's like a mother holding a child's hand walking down the mall. The child, she'll say, take mommy's hand, okay, so we can hang on. And the child might be thinking that they're hanging on to mom, but the truth be told, mom's hanging on to them. Even when they don't realize it. See, God is faithful. Number three, follow God's word. It's just not a matter of, okay, I hear what the Bible's saying. We need to follow it. Not only feed our faith, but follow God's word. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 through 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Like the dear lady said, should I come to church? And I said, well, you do what's on your heart, what you think you need to do. But don't act in fear. Don't respond in fear. Don't do something because you're afraid one way or the other. No, find peace, find direction, and just simply obey. Don't do it because people are expecting you. No, you do what is on your heart that God is showing you. Trust in the Lord and all with all your heart, and he shall direct your path. It's using wisdom. Romans 8:14 says, for as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. This is a little different today. Is this okay, though? I'm just throwing you a bunch of words. Just listen to the word. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The Lord will show you. Even when you're not expecting, he can direct you. Don't look for voices. Even though you can hear the voice of God, the problem is if you don't know and you're growing in this thing and you look for voices, the devil can always accommodate and appear as an angel of light and get people all messed up. What do? You look to the word, because if you're not obeying the written word of God that he's revealed to your heart, you're not going to obey the spoken word that he speaks to you. I know this past, past month or so on a side, I'll not give names, but we were, as a church, we were looking to do some business with a company. We were interviewing companies, and I'll not give their name because out of respect for them, but we had done several interviews, weaned out several companies. Okay, which one we want to work with? All right, we're going to choose this one. And came down on a third meeting to contractually sign and hand off a check to get the operations going between us and them. And during that meeting, I started having an uneasiness in my spirit. We call that the inward witness. The time you have peace, green light, the time something's not right, red light. And I always, when I have that, I first do a double take. What's going on in my natural world? Because sometimes if you're physically tired, you can misinterpret stuff. That's some people jump out of the boat quick off any impulse, not giving themselves time to discover what's really going on. And on this particular occasion, it had been a busy day. We had, it's my busiest, I'm set up with meetings, and we actually did a lunch break devotional live, and then we went right into another lunch break devotional recorded, and then run into another meeting, and the meeting after that. And so right in the midst of that, I'm sitting there, and I just start having an uneasiness in my spirit, and I'm thinking, all right, what is going on? This is our third time working with this company. Met the owners, liked the ideas. What's happening? And so I stepped away to go to the other part of the office for a minute. And as I did, I just prayed between me and the Lord. I said, Holy Spirit, show me, make it clear. I'm missing something. Make it clear. Because a lot of times people want all the information at once. Many times the Lord will tap your attention like he did Samuel, waiting for a response before he can continue. And so I just pray, Holy Spirit, make this clear. What am I missing? I'm missing something. Something that I have an uneasiness in my spirit. I like the owners. I like the idea. I like the company. What am I missing? And so I went back, and as we were finishing up, the one owner stood up, and out of the blue, no context, no conversation to lead into this. So I came back. Go ahead and answer the phone. Tell him I said hi. That's okay. And so I pray, Lord, make it clear to me. I need to know what I'm dealing with. So I come back, I sit down, and we begin to talk some more, and we're finishing up the meeting. And the one of the owners stood up, and out of the blue, no context, no reason for saying this, but out of the blue says, oh, by the way, we have a young lady on our team who's a witch. Where did that come from? I said, well, that's interesting. And they're like, oh, but this is good. This is maybe you could be, they're still an important soul, and maybe you could help reach them by doing business with them. And I thought, that's not good logic. That's like saying a pedophile is a valuable person, and so you're going to let them babysit your kids. There's no reason to that. Needless to say, we're not doing business with this company, who I still respect the owners, but all of a sudden, out of the blue, they said, and the person next to them said, that's so unusual because she never blurts stuff out. The Holy Spirit can lead and guide you and protect you. If we learn just to say, Lord, show me, what am I missing? Lord, what do I need to do? What is the wisdom in this? Because I want to do what's best, what's right in alignment with your word. John chapter 16, verse 33 says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will guide you into all truth. So he's guiding me. Last but not least, number four, we not only need to fear not, say fear not. Feed your faith. Follow God's word. Here's the goal. Finish strong. Say finish strong. At this stage of the game, I do not know by natural or by spiritual revelation the intent or the strategy of what we're dealing with. I don't know if it's real, if it's being manipulated, if it's being orchestrated by others to create a perception. I don't know if it's a media-driven thing purely, even though that's what it looks like to me. I don't understand how far they're going to take it, where they're going to take it, if they're going to try to do martial law. There's a lot of variables. You could say, is this the end of the world or end of times or end of days? You could ask. There's a lot of questions out there. One thing we do know is God is true. And it, you know what I mean? And that he is faithful. And according to his word, he wants you to finish strong. Listen to me. He doesn't want you to panic. He doesn't want you to be afraid. He wants you to be a light. He wants you to finish strong. Romans chapter 5, verse 17 says, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. God wants you to reign. That means have dominion. That means finish strong. 1 Corinthians 15, 57, Amplified says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory as conquerors through our Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us the victory as conquerors through our Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us, say, he gives me, the victory. That doesn't mean that you sit back and do nothing. He'll ask you to do something because it's faith without works is dead. And the faith, the actions of your faith doesn't make the miracle. The actions of your faith gives God permission to do what only God can do. He'll tell an army to go blast a trumpet in front of the enemy, not because the sound of the trumpet did anything, but because of their obedience to his instruction in that moment of that season, of that storm, allowed God to do what only God could do, and they turned on themselves, and God gave them the victory. moving the stone was not anything that would create any miracle for Mary and Martha or Lazarus or anybody else, but moving the stone was an instruction that Jesus had given, and their obedience to his instruction opened the door for him to do what only he could do, giving them the miracle. The miracle is not based on the action. The miracle is based on your willingness to open the door, and your action defines Revelation 3 if you're willing to open the door and let Jesus come in. The devil will always tell you, when God asks you to do something, the devil will always tell you, oh, that won't make a difference. And it's not to make a difference. The goal is not to make the difference. The goal is to obey what the Lord shows you to do, so you are opening God to do who can make a difference in that situation. He'll ask you to pray for somebody. You think, that's not going to change anything. He'll ask you to go invite somebody to church. That's not going to really do anything. He'll ask you maybe to bake or cook some food and take it to a neighbor who say, oh, that probably won't do anything. But it's not a matter of that doing anything. It's letting God do what, and when you obey God with what he tells you to do, he's setting you up so he can do what only he can do. And something simple and natural can do something supernatural because God is in what you're doing. Last but not least, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But thanks be to God. Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ, that through us spreads and makes evident everywhere the sweet fragrance of the knowledge of him. Let me read that again. But thanks be to God. Let's take a moment and begin to give God thanks. Lift your hand right where you're at. Thank him. Thank you. Thank you, Father God. We give you thanks, Father God. We thank you, Father, that nothing catches you off guard. I thank you, Father God, there are no surprises to you. I thank you, Father God, before any disease ever showed up, you have already made victory, a path of not only escape, but victory in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father God, that no weapon formed against your people will prosper. I thank you, Father God, that you are Jehovah Jireh, the God who saw the need before there was a need and has backed up in time and made provision through the cross. I thank you that by your stripes we were, therefore we are healed. I thank you, Father God, that we don't have to live in fear like the rest of the world. 1,000 might fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand, but it will not come near us. Only with our eyes will we behold and see the reward of the wicked. I thank you, Father God, that your word says you go before us and you are behind us and your hand of blessing is upon us. I thank you, Father God, that the canopy of God, your canopy of love is over us. I thank you, Father God, that the angel of the Lord encamps around about those who reverence and fear you and protects us. I thank you, Father God, that no harm can come near our dwelling. I thank you, Father God, that you got this. I thank you, Father God, that you have already in control and you are giving us the victory in this. I thank you, Father God, that we do have a say-so. We thank you, Father God, that you are still the healer. You are still the healer. You are still the healer. You are still our health. You are still our guard. You are our guard behind us and in front of us. I thank you, Father God, that there is no God like you in the heavens or the earth. Lord, we repent for all the time we've given so much attention to the coronavirus or any sickness or any fear, because the truth is you are greater than them all. You have signed Jesus, the name of Jesus, to be above every name, that at that name, every knee must bow and every tongue must confess. We thank you that you have not only raised him from the dead, but you have set him high up at the right hand of you, Father, far above, far above, far above, far above, far above all principality and power. I thank you, Father God. We set our focus on you. We pull down strongholds. We cast down imaginations and reasonings and any high thing that tries to exalt itself against the knowledge of God. And we bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of God in Christ Jesus. We command our mind to line up with the word of God. And whatsoever things are pure, lovely, honest, just, good reporting, virtue, praise. We think on these things. We think on you because you are good. There is none good but one, and that's you. There is no one that can be as compared to you, Father. We worship you today. We worship you today. You inhabit the praises of your people, and you desire for your people to worship. We worship you today. We enter your praise. We enter your presence with thanksgiving and praise. We enter your courtroom by the blood of Jesus. Father, we sanctify this house. We call this is not a mall. all, this is the house of God. We sanctify this place by the blood of Jesus and everyone who comes into it. We thank you, Father God. No harm can come near their dwelling. We thank you, Father God. We give you thanks. We give you thanks. We give you thanks. We give you thanks because no virus, sickness, or disease comes from you. It's under the curse. It's under the curse. It has no right to be in our lives. It's not part of the covenant. We thank you, Father God. We thank you for your peace. We thank you for your joy. I thank you for your life. Oh, Father God, we thank you for your joy. In your presence is fullness of joy. When everybody's looking down, we're looking up. When everybody's frowning, we're smiling. When everybody's freaking out, we're in faith and strength and security. We give you thanks, Father God. We give you thanks, Father God. Hallelujah. We give you thanks. Father, I ask right now, as a sign of your goodness, let not one family member of Hope Church experience one symptom of this virus. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. But thanks be to God who always leads us. When God's leading you, it's not to failures, not to struggles, it's to victory in Christ, in the anointing. Notice why, and through you, say through me. What is God doing? He is going to spread and make evident everywhere. What is he making evident? What is he spreading? The sweet fragrance, the aroma of his goodness. You're a billboard. You're a billboard of the goodness of God. Over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about covenant. We're going to talk about healing. Matthew 15, 26, healing is bread for the children. But, you know, when they would, in closing, when they would, in the Old Testament, and there was a death angel coming over, God told Moses, have the people take the blood of the Pesach, the sacrifice lamb, and put it on the doorpost. And when the death angel would see the blood, it would pass over. There was a practical, spiritual, and prophetic connection to that. Israel for centuries have celebrated the Passover for the historical memory of what God is doing. It was also a practical application for the harvest, but also was a prophetic referring to Jesus. For John the Baptist, when he declared and recognized Jesus at the water for the baptism, he said, behold, we see it as the Lamb of God. They saw, he didn't say the Lamb of God, he didn't talk English. He literally said, behold the Pesach. They understood what that was because every year since their whole lives, they would take in the perfect spotless lamb, become emotionally connected to it, and then have to see it sacrificed for their sins. They understood it, the symbolism that Jesus was going to be their Pesach. He said, behold the Pesach, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Now, the reason I say all that is to understand and bring back to when Moses, when they put the blood of the lamb, this Pesach, on the doorpost, the death angel passed over. Notice here. They did not know what all was going on until the storm was over. It wasn't until they walked out the next day that they begin to see those who serve God and those who don't. I'm telling and believing and speaking prophetically that we might not see all the ins and outs of the season of the storm, but you keep staying under the canopy, the banner of the blood of Jesus. And when the storm is over and we walk out, you will be able to look around and see who has been serving God and who has not. And I speak that over your life, that you'll walk out and say, wow, we're fine. We're better. And I'm telling you, whatever the devil will use, any tactic, this is practical, any tactic the devil starts working in your area about what are you going to do about this, what are you going to do about that, just say, I'll just take it up to my Heavenly Father. Lord, show me what I need to do. He might give you an idea that will help people, that will not only minister and help a lot of people, but bless you beyond your understanding. How many people would like to say, you're concerned about what if I don't get paid this week? How about if God gave you an idea and you made it in 1 week more than you made in 1 year? And blessed a lot of people. Whatever the enemy tries to throw at you, put up the shield of faith, stop it, quench it, and then begin to say, all right, show me what to do because I know you're leading me to victory. I speak the blood of Jesus over your life today. I speak the blood of Jesus over your home today. I speak the blood of Jesus over your, I plead the blood of Jesus over your family today. I plead the blood of Jesus, even if you don't even understand it, just say amen to it. I plead the blood of Jesus. Every demon in hell trembles at that blood. Every plan of the device of the strategies of the enemy are destroyed and canceled because of the blood of Jesus. Say the blood of Jesus. Amen. I will tell you this, regardless of the source, regardless, and we might not ever know what all went down to start this, but the Bible says what the enemy meant for evil, God can turn for good. And whoever is behind it, if for whatever motivation, if they try to shut down the house of God, they're going to awaken the army of God, the church of Jesus Christ. I mean, the devil just don't understand. There'll be people who fall to the side, but there's going to be people who say, I'm going to pray more. I'm going to read the word more. I'm going to reach out to my neighbor more. I'm going to help more. I'm going to, you just get serious. Take it to the next level. Let the devil knows. Let him know that he should never, ever mess with you and your family. Amen. I call you blessed. I call you the healed of the Lord. We'll get into that next week. You say, I'm the healed of the Lord. Wherever I go, I display the aroma of the goodness of my God. Everywhere, everywhere, every place, I'm a billboard of God's goodness, of His healing, of His mercy, of His love, wherever I go, in Jesus' name. God bless you. We call you blessed. See you next Sunday.